graduation today.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. That's what we're talking about. Graduation. Okay, page Vav. On page Vav, it's been a couple of weeks. Yontif. We're learning this mimer for the last couple of months from Rav Motl, which opens up to a place of pnimius that gives the highest and deepest nechama that a person could ever have and the greatest chizik, knowing that there's a sugya that we're in, especially at the end of time. He spoke about that already 2 years ago, the neshamas of Tohu. We talk more about what's unique about the generation that we're in terms of the Seder of of Dairis before Mashiach comes, the time that we're in. But this chizik and nechama, knowing that there's a sugya that Hashem is working out at the end of time, that certain things need to get done, and certain mistakes need to be made, and certain nisyonos that the generation is going through, that when a person works hard at tshuva and is serious about his avodas Hashem, that Hashem makes it known to him that there were certain things that were beyond his choice. It's a very deep secret in Torah. It's not something that's taught and shouldn't be taught when we're growing up in yeshivas. And it has to do with the sod of Yosef HaTzadik and Yehuda and the inyan between the brothers, Rachel and Leah, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. And what's unique about our generation, which we're going to talk more about in Mr. Shem, a lot more over after the summer, but this generation befrat. But we're learning that this is a sod from the sodas of the Torah, that there are things that are not necessarily within one's bechira to control. That's not a green light to do, God forbid, what a person wants. And only Hashem knows when a person is trying his hardest. But there's a certain avoda that Hashem wants from our generation at the end of time that's unique to our time. On page Vav, on the left side, which says, but no say ze. For those who still have the pages, I'm not sure if I see. Not everybody has them. No. What?
It's on the
website. It's on the... That's good. If we could always have that like that, that would be the easiest thing. Yeah. Benose zeh, so if you don't have, listen. Benose zeh yeshna in pnimi yaisevu mavur ba'achav b'sifei rabba kodesh b'sadik Lublin, the left side of page Vav. B'svarim hakadai b'sifei hakadai sichas aran. B'sadik speaks about this quite openly. B'sadik, of course, was a Talmud of the Ishbitzer. And Rabbi Nachman speaks about this in sichas aran and other places. There's a certain hanhoge el yona of how Hashem runs the world. Now I'm going to only explain this a little bit now, and we'll talk more about it when we have a little more time after the summer, but a little bit. You all have heard about nitzaitzis, sparks. It's a word that's thrown around, nitzaitzis, and it comes from one of the deepest secrets of creation, of how Hashem created the world. And there are nitzaitzis of kedusha. There are pieces of holiness that have been scattered throughout the years and throughout the universe, throughout the world, thank you, that need to be restored and brought back to Kedusha. It's really the tachlis of our lives. To explain this fully, Mr. Shem will talk much more about it, but you've all heard that this is the avoda of halos on hitzaitis, of restoring and bringing back sparks that have been lost in the world of tuma, to bring them back to kedusha. All of our stops that we're making now in Sefer Bamidbar through the Midbar, that you know the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and other tzaddikim taught, means the stops that we make in life and the difficulties and the challenges that we have. The 42 masos of the Midbar correspond to 42 different types of challenges that we have in life that correspond to the name of Hashem of 42, the Shem Mem Beis. And along each one of us, and along the journey of life, we have opportunities, we have choices to make, that if we make the right choice, we're able to bring something that was lost from Kedusha back into the world of Kedusha. And there's a Hanhoge Elyona, Rav Tzadik and Rabbi Nachman, other tzadikim talk about. Where Hashem allows the side of impurity, to take, to grab nitzaitis min hakedusha, certain nitzaitis sparks min hakedusha. The zois mikaven sheyeshnam harbi nitzaitis amuvlom kvar biyada setrachra. The other side, the side of impurity, due to the poor choices that have been made over the years by us and others, the sitrachra, I know what I'm saying now is a little bit hard to understand because it's not being fully explained, but a little bit just a tam. The sitrachra, the other side, is fat. It's fat with all of the mistakes that we've made. And that's why there's a tremendous darkness that's in the world. Now, what the Svarim talk about is the same way when you have somebody that has, let's say, overeaten. He has overeaten and is fat from overeating. That it's possible to at that point, Davka, because of the fullness, that it's possible to stick something into the mouth of this person, and as a result of that, to cause him to vomit up what he has overeaten. So, as odd as it sounds, the Zohar Kaddish, Nairia Kaddish, revealed to us a reality where the Sitra Achra at the end of time has overeaten for many, many years. The side of impurity, is full. And there are certain nitzaitis of Kedusha that the Sitra Achra takes. And I remember that when I was in high school, there was a movie. I'm sorry for quoting from the Sitra Achra, but since we're talking about the Sitra Achra, I might as well quote from the Sitra Achra. Well, there was a movie that there was a... Some of you might remember this silliness. But one of the characters in the film was Henry VIII, I think. You know, he was a big mushlis, a king in England. He did every aveira, the raisa, the rabbanon, for a Jew, for ben noach, innocent. He was like the lowest person, a murderer, an adulterer. So there was a scene in the movie, I believe it was him, that he's sitting in a restaurant, and they brought him out like cows to eat. And he's sitting there, and there's this huge guy, and he's eating like a cow, and they bring him a lamb, and he's got his mouth open, and they're just putting things in his mouth. Yeah. Like Shabbos Kiddush. and they're just putting stuff in his mouth, just like that. And it's on and on and on, and this girl comes in, and this guy comes in, and all the avodim are putting things in. And then the maitre d' comes over. Like the maitre d' comes over at the end. And he's had already like all kinds of desserts and lots of stuff. And the maitre comes over with like an after-dinner mint. Just a mint. And he says, Your Majesty, would you care to have a mint? And he says, Nah, I really can't. I can't. I can't. Please. It's insulting to us. Please, Your Majesty, just a mint. And he says, Nah, I'm full. I can't. He actually ate the whole kingdom. He says, I can't. And he said, No, Sire, we really insist respectfully that you have this. After dinner, it's delicious. Says, I'm telling you, I'm going to explode. Please have it. And he eats it, and he explodes. That was the movie. He explodes all over the place. He explodes. There was an Indian of that after dinner mint that the Sitra Achra is given, and it's one of the deepest teachings of Torah. That it causes there to be an explosion of vomiting on the part of the other side. And as a result of that, there was an escape of many, many of the Nitzaytis of Kedusha that were held in the grip of the Sitra Achra until then. Now, how this works, why did Hashem make the world this way? It's something that would need much more explanation. He's alluding to it here. In Yeshiva, we learned a piece in Lukutei Halachas that was dealing with this from Rabbi Nosson. And Mitzvah I'll talk more about, because we need to understand the inyan of the Tohu of our generation and what's happening. But what he's explaining is, and I forgot to mention to begin with, that the Shurim sponsored by, also the Shurim are Darche Avinom, from the family Rabin is here, the Mishpocha of Rabin Lezecha Nishmas, his father, Avinom Zechon Lervocha, and Menachem Levis. There should be a schuss for the children, Bez Hashem. I don't have the paper with me, but we're always grateful and thank you for everything you're doing. This is Bepashtis, Lahoya Evshe Lahaloysim La'olim Yad HaSitra'acha L'dekashan Neufim Oid Chalokim Nakedusha L'Sitra'acha, that somehow when the Sitra'acha gets certain after dinner mints, like something unexpected, something extra, Azayk Shemalim Oysam L'Kedusha, then when the Jew who has fallen, this person who has become like an after dinner mint for the Sitra'acha because he's done some Aveira, like he did something bad, and then he does tshuva, he works on himself, he cries his heart out to do tshuva. In other words, that wasn't really his choice, that Aveira. It was something that had to happen to him, the Svarim say. And he does tshuva, he cries his heart out, he works hard to do tshuva. Then b'derech greira yimshuchu chalokim elu achareyim gam eshar nitzaytis hakdoshim shiad ha-sitra'acha. That somehow that causes there to be an explosion of the sitra'acha, of the other side, and much holiness is able to be released into the world as a result of that. V'namalim gam es nitzaytis elu shiachsu el ha-kedusha. And a tremendous amount is able to return to the state of kedusha. Valkach Ksiv, and the Arizal brings the Pasuk, and the Svarim bring the Pasuk in Iyov, Chil Bola V'yakieno. There's a tremendous amount that has been swallowed and that it's vomited up. Mibitna Yerishenu Kelen, Hashem retrieves this back from the stomach of evil, from the stomach of the side of evil. And Arizal taught, and these tzaddikim of tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachman, tzaddikim talk about this, again, very rarely and in a very hidden way. The koyal ha-sitra'acha ha-balen nitzaytis min ha-kedusha, el-ishtalubisayf yumuchrochim la-hakin nitzaytis eilu. That Hashem gives the opportunity by bringing a Jew to a certain test in such a way that this person cannot pass the test. He simply cannot pass the test. But Hashem entrusts that individual with this failure, you know, it's a delicate inyan, with this failure to do tshuva. And to ask Hashem, to say to Hashem, Rabbi Shalom, I don't know what to do, I can't control myself. I'm trying this over and over for so many years, I'm not able to control this. And he cries. And by that longing to change, he doesn't feel that it was that Hashem made him do that. He feels that he just messed up again. But the truth is that Rizal says that there are certain after dinner mints that are given to the Sitra Achra, and the person did not have a choice, and he was put into such a situation, or he did things in his life that led him to that situation, but he's in a matzav that he couldn't control at this point. And then the question is he going to do tshuva? In other words, is he going to cry? Is he going to feel bad about it? Is he going to work on changing it? And if he does that, so then it will cause such a vomiting of the Sitra Achra that even though it was like an after dinner, it was like, seemed like it was just like this one Jew with this one little thing, and Hashem brought him to this matzav, and then somehow as a result of this person saying, Rabbi Shalom, help me, I don't know what to do, that it causes the other side to throw up. And there's tremendous kedusha that is allowed into the world. And I just saw Erev Shabbos, I saw brought down in Meilach Biederman. You know the Bichalach that? So from the Mashpia from Eretz Yisrael. Some of you probably saw it also. I don't know, the English one is almost the same thing as the Hebrew. I read the Hebrew one. There's also an English one. Is this the same? I give the English one to my wife. I don't know if it's the same. That's the English. I know it's the same thing. It's probably some of the whatever. So I read the Hebrew one, and so I don't know if it's an English one. But he brought a ma'aseh there that I have to remember to tell. I said over to the oiler maybe before Yontif that I'm thinking about the whole Shabbos. This ma'aseh. He's talking about the nazir. What happens when the nazir is, you know, he messes it up and he starts again. So it says that the days have fallen, the earlier days fall, and he has to try again. So he brings the Amaisa from the Imre Emes, Susi Helena, that from the Ger Rebbe, that there was a Bocher, a Chassid. And this chassid was going to visit family in Chutz Laaretz the next day. And he was very, very, apparently he was struggling with certain things in his life, and he was worried about going to Chutz Laaretz and so on, what's going to become with him. He was thinking about things in his life that were not the way that they should be. At any rate, so the night before, like many Jews do in Eretz Yisrael, the night before he was leaving, he went to the kotel the night before he was leaving to daven to Hashem, to cry out to Hashem. And he was there at a time when it was kimat empty. In those years it was very, it wasn't so posh. It was kimat empty over there. And he went to cry by the kotel. And then he felt somebody tapping him on the shoulder. And he turned around, and it was the Ger Rebbe, can you imagine? It was the Imre Emes, himself. So he stands there, and the Rebbe says to him, "I want to tell you something." He says, "Is the Baruch Shalom lach nisht? The Baruch Shalom doesn't laugh." That's what he said. And then he walked away. Then the Rebbe walked away. So this guy was like totally baffled by this. He didn't know what the Rebbe's talking about. The Baruch Shalom lachnish, the Baruch Shalom doesn't live. So he didn't know what to do. So he went back to Gula, and he was hoping maybe it was very, very, very early in the morning, or very, very late at night. It was a strange time. And he was hoping that maybe the Rosh Hashiva, there was a light in the Rosh Hashiva's room. Now then, the Rosh Hashiva was the Pnei Menachem. He was the Rosh Hashiva, the future Ger Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem. The Ben Zekunim of the Imre Emes was the Pnei Menachem. So, it wasn't the Imre Emes. It was the Beis Yisrael, not the Imre Emes. The Beis Yisrael, right? The Beis Yisrael was the one that tapped him on the shoulder. By that time, the Imre Emes wasn't alive anymore. It was the Beis Yisrael tapped him on the shoulder. So that's the brother, the older brother of the Pnei Menachem. The Beis Yisrael was the Rebbe, and the Pnei Menachem was the Rosh Hashiva. So the Beis Yisrael was the one who said to him that the Baruch Shalom doesn't laugh. So he looked and he saw that the light was on by the Pnei Menachem, by the Rosh Hashiva. So he knocked on the door, and the Bocher comes in, and the Pnei Menachem says, "What is it?" And he says, I was just at the Kaisel, and a strange thing happened to me, that the Rebbe was there, your brother, the Beis Yisrael was there, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said to me this funny thing. He said, as the Baruch Shalom, you should know the Baruch Shalom's lachnish, the Baruch Shalom doesn't live. So, I don't know what that means. And I'm going to Chutz La'aretz today, I don't know like what the Rebbe's telling me. So, the Pnei Menachem told him this, listen to this. Pnei Menachem said that the Pnei Menachem said that I'm the Rosh Hashiva here in Ger. And let's say that there was a bacha that was caught doing something really bad. And the bacha was brought to me, and I speak to the bacha, and I give him a whole Musa Shmuz, and it's not going to be tolerated, and you can't do this, and you're not going to stay in yeshiva. And the bacha cries, and the bacha says that I'm gonna be good Rosh Hashiva. You'll see, I'll be good. So I'll say, fine. Adarabba, be matzliach. And then 2 days later, the bacha, it's the same mice he does. He's caught doing a terrible thing. And they bring the bacha back into me. And I say to him, Moshe, what is it with you? And he cries and he says, Rosh Hashiva, I don't know how it happened. It was crazy. But this, I'm telling you, Rosh Hashiva, this is it. Never again is this going to happen. Never again. So the Pnei Menachem said, so that would be hard for me, you know. Maybe it was 2 days ago, the guy. But I'll say to him, Moshe. And I give him a little, you know, and okay. 3 days later, they bring this bacha back to me, the same aveir. And he starts up again, Rosh Hashiva, and then he said, this time, he says, I just start laughing at the guy. Like, I don't take you seriously. You're a joke. Your whole life is a joke. I just start laughing at the guy. The Pnei Menachem said, yeah, I would just start laughing at him. What is this? A game? My brother, the Rebbe, was telling you, as the Abish, the Baruch Shalom Lachnish. You hear this story? It's a Meredith story. So I want to leave you a message for the summer. As the Baruch Shalom Lachnish, not 3 times, 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, and a Jew comes with the same narishkeit, with the same aveira, and he comes to the Baruch Shalom and he says, look, I'm this time I really mean it. And the Baruch Shalom says, yeah? It's a serious thing. You really mean it? He says, yeah, Baruch Shalom, this time I'm going to work at it, I'm going to do tshuva, this time you're going to see, it's not going to happen again. And the Baruch Shalom gives me a little pinch, and he says, okay, I trust you. Go ahead. And then the next day, they bring me back in, you know, to the Baruch Shalom. Not twice, not 10 times, 1,000 times. The Pnei Menachem said, me, after 2 times, I'd be laughing at the guy. Like, what, are you a joke? The Baruch Shalom Lachnish, that's what my brother's telling you. Now, he said, I don't know why he told that to you, but my brother wants you to know, before your trip back, that the Baruch Shalom Lachnish, he doesn't laugh at people. Hashem doesn't laugh at anybody. You mean it, you try, he doesn't laugh at you. It's a big thing. So, there was an Indian in how Hashem made the world, and it's especially at our time where there are things, especially in this Indian of Pgam HaBris, that are being violated and ruined once, twice, 3 times, many, many, many times over, and the person feels that he pushes it, doesn't have control in his life. And he feels already silly coming back into the Rosh Hashiva. And if it was a Rosh Hashiva, you wouldn't be able to face the Rosh Hashiva, which is what's happening to a lot of the guys. You wouldn't be able to face the Rosh Hashiva. But you have to feel the Beis Yisrael. Imagine yourself at the Kaisa, and there's nobody else there, and you're just standing there. Like I said, when you were there, Mul Hadarecha, facing Kivyachal, the Shechina, and you're saying, I don't know what to do about this. And to feel the Beis Yisrael, like tapping you on the shoulder, and turn around and say, remember, he doesn't laugh at you. He's not laughing at you. Whether you're going to succeed, you're not going to succeed, whether you're going to get taken back to his office, but he's not laughing at you. And that this is a big, big, big nisayon of our generation, to believe in this b'emunah shleima, but the basis all set that out chosid, that the Baruch Shem lachnish, he's not laughing at you. He's not laughing at us. This so that Rav Motl is bringing here from Rav Tzadik and from Rabbi Nachman, which is, of course, from the Zohar Kodesh and the Kisvari, that there's an inyan that especially at the end of time, these last neshamas, that we're the final neshamas before Mashiach comes, that we're put by Hashem into certain situations that we don't really have full control over. And the whole issue is, are you going to go to the Kosel the next day? And are you going to cry and say to Hashem, I don't know what to do about this. My life's out of control. Can you help me? And that somehow, in ways that are very deep and mysterious that I'm not explaining now, it's not for now, but then somehow that when the person's davening by the Kosel that night, even though he doesn't know that tomorrow he's going to be able to be Masliach, but when he's davening with the Kosel that night, that somehow that's the aftermath that made Henry VIII explode. That it turns out that by him doing that Aveira, and by him coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, I'm amish lost. I don't know what to do. I'm not in control. That somehow through that, in a very, very mysterious way, he was able to infiltrate into the stomach, into the belly of the other side through his Aveira, and he's in the belly, and like Yonah inside the whale, Yonah offers up a big tefillah, it's Gevaldig tefillah with Yonah Davin over there, and that somehow for that tefillah, so the whale, and then we have on Minchi Yom Kippur, is it Sazam at Yain Hanuvi? Understand? Where does Yonah come to our lives? It comes from the stomach of that impure creature. Because in that place, in the way that he davened in that place, you have, bring me a Yonah, bring me you see the novice over there, a Treyasa, you know. Yeah, the whole thing is. I got it. Okay. You're looking for a fancy one. Just some of the words that he said when he was in there. Yonah. I have a yispal Yonah l'Hashem l'okav mimei hadoga. So he's sitting there, listen to this. Vayiman Hashem dog godel. The one from sent a big fish. Livlo es Yonah, to swallow up Yonah. So Hashem does that to us. He sends a big fish. Whatever that big fish is that messed you up at that time in your life, he sends a big fish. Livlo es Yonah, to swallow up Yonah. Vayhi Yonah b'mei hadog shloish yom shloish leilas. And Yonah's inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Vayispalol Yonah l'Hashem l'kav mimei hadoga. And Yonah davens to Hashem from inside the kishkes of this fish. It's pretty disgusting. In the kishkes of this filth, with all of the tumah, he's davening. Vayomer. And he says, Karasi mitzara li al Hashem vayaneni. I called in my distress to Hashem and he answered me. Mi beten sha'ol from the belly of the grave, which means Gehenna, from the belly of Gehenna. Mi beten sha'ol shivati, I cried out, shamata koili. The only Hashem knows that if I wouldn't have been in the belly of the fish, I wouldn't be crying out. I'd just be going on like, you know, no big deal. I'm okay. But Hashem brought me to the belly of the fish. and I was swallowed up by this fish. And from that feeling of disgust, Shivati, I called out, and Shemata Koli. Vatashli Cheni Mitsula Belevav Yamim. And you cast me into the depth of the heart of the seas. Belevav Yamim. Tshuva, tshuva. You threw me into the Belevav. You spit me out. And you sent me into the world of tshuva, because Mayim is tshuva, water is tshuva. Vinahar Yisavaveni. And the rivers surrounded me. Kol mishberecha v'galecha alai avaru. Like it says in Tillim. Saying the Tikkun Klali. All your breakers, the waves, and your waves passed over me. Vani amarti, and Yonah says, Nigrashti mineged einecha. Then I said to myself, I was driven from before your eyes. You're finished with me like that, like the Rosh Hashiva. You know, you're laughing at me. You're not. I'm a joke. Ach oisef lahabit el heichal kodshecha. But I will again gaze at your holy temple. I'll go to the kaisel, like this little bocher. I'll go to the kaisel. Ach oisef lahabit el heichal kodshecha. Afafuni mayim ad nefesh. Water encompassed me to the soul. Tahoim yisoveveni. Tahom, the deep world around me. Suf chovush l'roishi. Reeds were tangled about my head. L'kitzvei horim yeradati. I descended to the bases of the mountains. Ha'aretz b'richeha ba'adil ha'olam. The earth, its bars were closed against me forever. Closed against me forever. Vata'al mishachas chayai Hashem Elokai. Yet you lifted my life up from the pit, Hashem my God. Bis'atef alei nafshi. When my soul was faint within me, as Hashem zacharti, I remembered Hashem. When my soul was faint with me, because I was such a disgusting place that I felt I couldn't go on anymore. Zacharti. Yes, Hashem Zacharti. I remembered Hashem. I didn't run away. I went to the Kaisel. I remembered Hashem. Vatovo elecha tfilosi. And my tefillah, my davening came to you. El heichal kodshecha, to your holy temple. And Hashem addressed the fish. He told the Sitracha, you're done, finished. Henry VIII, bye-bye. And it spewed out Yonah into dry land. Too hungry at that time of the day to think about what it says over here. Yom Kippur Mincha. It's a very deep Indian. For a person to come in Yom Kippur to this realization that Hashem sent the fish to swallow me up. Now, the reason that you can't say that the rest of the year like that, I mean, you can learn Yonah every minute all year round, but we don't say it only Mincha Yom Kippur. Because then a person's in a place of real tshuva. Because otherwise it's very dangerous, you understand. Hashem sent the fish to swallow me up. But Hashem sent that girl to get me into trouble. But there isn't any like that. But you have to be careful. Yom Kippur, you could be in such an honest place. Mincha Yom Kippur, you're already holding in such a place that you could hear such a thing, because you've already been working the whole Elul, the whole Slichas and Rosh Hashanah and everything, and you're working hard to come to this place of tshuva. So then finally it begins to dawn on you, Hashem sent this fish to swallow me up, and my job is to the only thing I could do is to cry out and not run away from him. Just to shivati elecha Hashem, just to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's my avoda, is to cry out. And then when Hashem sees that the Jew is crying out, he tells the fish, time to throw up. And when the fish vomits, I'm sorry for saying, you know, but when the fish vomits, so then not only does Yonah come out, but all the nevuahs of Yonah, all gewaltige things, all kinds of things that were till the end of time, that because of Yonah, Jews are able to do tshuva till Mashiach comes and beyond. The whole inyan of Yonah Hanavi, what the inyan, what Yonah means, and what the nevuah of Yonah was, and what he was poiled for us, that came out from that place. That came out from that place. So that was all stuff that was inside the fish, in the belly of the sidrach. And that's the pasuk that's brought chil bolav yakienu mibitna yerishenu kel. That Hashem takes it back from the stomach when it's vomited up by the sidrach. So you have such a thing where the person really doesn't want to do this aveir again. He really doesn't want to. And then it's a crazy thing that Hashem just like this, the after dinner mint sent him, and he's pushed and he's pushed and he's pushed, and he doesn't know how to control himself, and he finally says okay, and he goes after that thing, and then somehow as a result of that, of course with crying or with tshuva like Yonah, that I'm calling you from this place instead of running away, because the easiest thing to do when you're in that bad place is to run away. So many people, they just run away. They don't want to talk to Hashem anymore. They're finished. They're too embarrassed. They're too ashamed. They don't go back to the yeshiva. They leave the yeshiva. Most of the bachim in that situation, they don't have to get called back into the Pnei Menachem. You know why? Because they leave the yeshiva before the Pnei Menachem gets wind of it again. They run away from the yeshiva. What the Beis Yisrael said to him, Hashem doesn't live. Your union is to daven. Your union is to try. Hashem doesn't live because only Hashem knows that He sent the fish. It's a serious business that's going on in our generation with what the Baruch Shalom is sending out there. And He's not laughing at us. No matter how many times we come to Him, as long as we come back to Him and we try and we meet it, He's not laughing at us. He's not laughing. Can you imagine if every single yeshiva bachur in the world heard this story about the basis, that from the basis, so, and would understand a little bit what it means? It would be part of very big things in the world. It could do a lot of good things in the world. V'koya al sitrach ha'beleni tzaitz min ha'kedusha ala shil b'soif yu mechrochem la'kini tzaitz ha'zeilu v'deizeh yis'alu yachli imam gam nitzaitz ha'mevlon b'bet n'sitrach v'shebeparashas l'ohi efshal lo'isam. All kinds of kedusha comes into the world and into that person's life. Which many, many people could tell you. The dafka from the lowest time of my life, that's when I became good. That's when my life changed. From the stomach of the fish, when I got out of there, that's when my life started to change. I was talking to a young man, he's married now, Baruch Hashem, with children, that he wanted to share with me that he's sober 13 years. Sober. That's Mom is amazing. But you see, he still speaks about it as sobriety, not like that, like kilo, I never had it and I'm finished. He still sees himself as being in the Milchama. For 13 years, what the inning that he was in, it's crazy stuff. All the stuff that's inside of Yonah, of the whale, of the fish, that's what he was in, this guy. Worse than what's inside the fish. And he's sober for 13 years. And Hashem blessed him with a beautiful wife and beautiful children that are going to yeshiva. And they're good children. Athletic thing. And he'll say to you, and he said to me, and he'll tell, he's not hiding it. He says, it's when I was this close to dying, when I already saw the Malach HaMavis standing over me. When I saw the Malach HaMavis standing over me, and I was this far away from Gehenna. And if I wouldn't have gotten to that place, it never would have happened. And now this is my wife, these are my kids. And he has a good job, and he has a good life. Baruch Hashem, he's doing great. This close. And never, ever, it's never been as much like in our generation. I have to explain more, what's the Indian of our generation, talk more about it. Besides, we spoke a little bit in the Shamas of Toh. What is it now at the end of Afghan? That Hashem entrusts our neshamas, and He is sending us into the belly of the fish. He is sending some of our finest soldiers into crazy, sick, disgusting aveiros, into the fish mamish. So these Jews are going to cry out to Hashem, and that somehow, like Yonah, they're going to be vomited out and bring with them all kinds of kedusha that's being held in that place from the time of creation, mamish. From creation, from Mitzrayim, from Sdom and Amorah, mamish, from the darkest places, because now everything in the world is being finished before Mashiach comes. So it's down to the bottom of the ninth. So in the bottom of the ninth, the pressure is crazy. The aveiros is crazy. It's such strange aveiros, strange aveiros. And the pressure is crazy. From the lowest taivas, and you see the nicest people. I had an interview last week with a certain Rosh Hashiva, a very chash of a person. He's the finest person you could ever meet. And he wanted to talk to me. He was crying about the Indian with an Asia Sish. I can't. He's the finest person. And he's in such an Indian. His wife doesn't know. It's such an Indian. I don't know what's going to happen with him. And in the belly of the fish, mamish. But he's not running away. He's crying out like Yonah inside the fish. I don't know what he's going to have to go through, Hashem Yerachim, the family, Hashem should watch over him. But it's so strange. It's so strange. There's an Indian that Hashem is Baruch is sending in our generation into such places, into such things. But if for a second a person thinks that that's what I'm doing, he's already not on the he's not on the program at all. That's the biggest sign that you're not on the program. Or if you volunteer. you're not on the program. There are no volunteers over here. You're enlisted against your will. It's only when it's against your will and you're kicking and screaming and fighting. And afterwards you're heartbroken. There's no volunteering. There's nothing here about it's not a big deal. It happens to everybody. I'm better than my charusa. None of that stuff. That's freshman and high school stuff. None of that stuff. It's serious stuff. And when a person is serious, then the Beis Yisrael is saying, "That's the Baruch Shalom Lachnish. He's not laughing. You're in a big Indian that he's working at. It's not funny. It's not a funny Indian." He's not making fun of you. Because he has a chrayis for you. Because he sent you into the fish. So he takes a chrayis for such a soul. That's really what's going on now. Without enough explanation. But that's really what we're living through this time at the end. Valder zemavur pnimius inyan ha'asara tipen shal Yosef HaTzadik. That happened. Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is a much bigger tzadik than the Rosh Hashiva. He's a much bigger tzaddik than the Bach in Yerushalayim by the Beis Yisrael. Yosef HaTzaddik had 10 drops that came from him. The Afisha Achein Zo Pagamish Yitzarach Tikun Lakach, and Yosef HaTzaddik took it very seriously. And he was working on this whole life to fix. And all kinds of vinyonim that happened as a result of that, things that have to be fixed. Mekomakom Bemis Lo HaYezayis Pagam HaBris. Nevertheless, it was not in Pnimius, Yosef HaTzaddik was not Pagam the Bris. And therefore we call him Yosef Tzadik Yisalom. He's not Pagam the Bris. He's a Shema HaBris. Like the Bachir in Yerushalayim, and like this is a Shiva, and like Yonah, Shema HaBris. The Menei Shemaim Sovu Vuzayis Bebchinis Elokim Inil Yodo. Like it says by the person that by accident killed somebody, that has to go to the Eir Miklat, right? It says V'Helokim Inil Yodo. It's one of the kavanas of Elul, one of the Rosh Tevis and with Elul. That Hashem brought the person to such a matzav that he's climbing up a ladder. He's just in a very, very innocent way. He's just trying to make some tikkunim, and that something was broken, and he's trying to fix something upstairs. And he climbs on the ladder by the roof. He's trying to fix something, a tile on the roof, and then the ladder breaks, and he falls down, and he lands on a guy, and he kills this person. And he has to run away to an Eir Miklat, right? He's a tzech b'shoigeg. So it says in Pasuk, or he's taking the axe and he's giving a clap. He just wants to cut down some wood for to make a fire for an almana or something. And he gives a clap and the thing flies off and someone gets killed. Wow. Velikimi niliado. And I wanted to kill somebody. I wanted to fall on someone. I wanted to someone should get Lakimi niliado. So why did Hashem bring it to this person? Now he's running to an Ir Miklat. It says there befarish and pasuk here, lekim in eliyada. V'zayis bechdei lahalas ha'idzein yitzayis ha'kadayishem, shahim uvlorim etzim Mitzrayim. There was an Indian of Yosef HaTzadik that had to bring out, Mitzrayim is the filthiest place, and in Mitzrayim, there is hidden from the highest nitzaitzes of Kedusha in the whole universe. I'm not talking about why is that Mitzrayim, but they're held in that place. And by Yosef HaTzadik being swallowed up in the fish because he lost 10 drops of his seed, and then he did tshuva. Shitzichim lahalas kol v'chush Mitzrayim. Then when it says when we left Mitzrayim, v'yetzu b'chush gadol, we left with all the riches of Mitzrayim. According to the Arizal, it's not talking about, I mean, it's talking also about gold and silver, but it's talking a deeper level. Not the gold and silver. That's a klanika. It's talking about the nitzotzes of Kedusha that were there from the time of creation by the Shvirsa Kalim with the shattering of the vessels and the sparks of holiness are in Mitzrayim. Vayetzu b'chush gadol. And we took Yosef HaTzadik's bones with us when we left. Because he was the one that was largely responsible for bringing all of this out. Because of his tshuva for the drops that he spilled. Shoyim avlom b'soich b'al kach tziv b'shas yisrayim. When he tzalt Mitzrayim, we emptied out Egypt. We emptied out Mitzrayim. Not from the money. We emptied out whatever. We emptied out Mitzrayim from whatever was there in the stomach of Egypt. We emptied it out. What Jews went through in Poland and Russia, these places. You ever go back to visit these places? Unfortunately, I've been there a few times. When the Jews left, you know what's left in these places? Nothing. 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 You walk around Warsaw, you don't see a person that's alive in Warsaw. The whole place is dead. All these places are dead. And the Jews left. Starved. Nothing. And he told them every smile that was there, every chias, every good dream, every tiny little tremor of tshuva was taken away from these places. And there's nothing left in them. Empty. Nothing left. Therefore, there are nitzaitzes of Yosef HaTzadik that went into the hands of the Sitra. That somehow through that, because Mitzrayim is the root of all of the galus, of all galus, and somehow through that, Jews are able to somehow manage in the midbar because of Yosef HaTzadik's bones that are traveling with us wherever we go. That we're able to somehow to get out of the fish. You know, to somehow get out of the fish ourselves. And all of this is what the end of time is about. It was throughout time, but very, very, very strong these last few minutes before Mashiach comes with the neshamas, because we have to free everything. Everything has to be freed. Everything has to be freed. So the inyan do Isaac and now with even in the frum community with homosexuality and with the thing and transgender and all of the different tumors and the strange things that never before that's coming, Stom and Amor and all the craziness that's coming back into the world because there are cheshbonos that haven't been finished and the neshamas that are in certain sorrows that we have to daven for and that they daven and that somehow that all of this is bringing about the gilui of Irish Mashiach, the revelation of the light of Mashiach, when everything will be where it's supposed to be and everything will be fixed the way that it needs to be, that it needs to be fixed. We should be zayich Hashem to see it. Hope that we'll be able to have, if I'm able till next week, still to have another shiur. It'll be on the email to finish up, to try to finish up. Shkar. Oh, I don't know.